This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
Love is a potent seed. An apple seed has in its power reproduction, the reproduction of a big apple tree. Out of a little apple seed comes a tree, roots, trunk, branches, stems, leaves, flowers, and bushels of apples. The same picture is true of lumber-producing trees. Man's wooden structures, frame houses, etc., are the production that came out of a little seed. No wonder the seed plant life is pictured as love. Human population numbers for this earth have reached the 6 billion mark. The human seed cannot be seen by humans unless a magnifying glass is used, a microscope. From what is much smaller in size than a speck of dust grows out to be a 900 pounder. No one wants a mammoth figure for themselves. However, the human life speck has that much growth in it and more. Because I've heard of some people weighing 1,200 pounds. Life is filling. F-E-E-L-I-N-G. Life is filling. And that's where life begins. The baby comes here from his mother, just delivered, and it has feelings. And when its feelings are touched, it wakes up to our world. It opens its eyes and become aware or alert in our world. Life is also intelligence. Feeling and also force. Life is force. The force was not the baby's doing on its own. The God that created life created the life to force the baby out of the confinements of his mother's flesh into our world. Feeling, force, and intelligence. All three work together. And all three will make us or break us. Feeling, force, intelligence. Where are we going with this? We're going to the place where we are divided, but where we should be at the same time united. United. Common decency and common sense. History is not a report of one person's life. For any subject, the historian looks for circumstances as they relate to the person or to the person's life, the person that's being presented in the history. As powerful as it is, love fails the lover when love is not benefiting from common decency and common sense. Common decency and common sense make possible human conditions for a sustained community life, the common good. We couldn't support the common good if we didn't have persons living decency or living common decency and living common sense. The dictionary, American Heritage Dictionary, College Dictionary, gives in its definition for decency this meaning, end quote, the necessities for an acceptable standard of living. The necessities for an acceptable standard of living. Since Dr. King's quote, Freedom Now, and Elijah's quote, Do for Self, Black America's life has been an open door to scavengers and exploiters. They have virtually become extinct, the grassroots standard bearers. When I was a boy, I used to hear the expression from the preacher. I mean the preacher in the Nation of Islam. The standard bearer. They were aware that a congregation, like a neighborhood, like a community, must have standard bearers to survive and keep the good life. Survive and keep the good life. The good life is the life that offers us a good future. The good life is progressive, not stagnated. Are stagnant. We have lost those old seasoned preachers, and that's a big loss. Big loss, big loss. Showing when divided people are to be united is the purpose for my address right here, this first part of it. Americans' most serious separation is the separation of the rich and the poor. The rich and the poor. Wherever there is a natural need for people to be together, the Satan comes in there. And he wants to disrupt it, confuse it, turn you against one another. Because the only way he can achieve what he's out after, what he's out to get, is to keep the important God-given relationships from being healthy and growing. He doesn't want those relationships to be healthy, because if they're healthy, they're going to grow. And he knows that. So he wants to keep them sick, corrupted, so they won't develop properly as Allah, as God wants them to develop, and progress. The rich and the poor, we've been deceived. We've been turned against each other. You know, when you are doing without, and you know the society is not that fair by you, and that was a condition we suffered for the whole time of plantation slavery, and for the time after plantation slavery, up until this reason in our history in America. So we can understand why there is not a unity in that divide. Certainly, we're divided, we're separated. We know wealth separates the wealthy from the poor. We know that. They can live in better conditions, they can move, they have more freedom of movement to move out of a bad situation into a better one. They have so much more freedom than poor people. We know there's a big difference, certainly there's a big difference. But if you belong to a religion and you have not been overcome by Satan's inducements, inducements that he come into your mind, into your heart, and into your soul as an influence and induce in you attitudes that's really against your own better interest. Yes. We want justice, we want fairness, and we want even more from rich people. We want charity from rich people. And charity in our religion is not something that you haven't qualified for. The rich did not become rich in a situation or in circumstances where there was only the rich. The rich became rich because there were circumstances that they could benefit from, and those circumstances were the conditions or the circumstances for the poor. So they came in and saw opportunities to grow wealth in the circumstances of the poor. Therefore, charity is not something that we don't qualify for. Then we live in a society governed by laws. And we have to pay taxes like everybody else. We're taxed like everybody else. There's a public domain. It's paid for by taxes. Those taxes are collected from the citizens. And we are among those citizens, taxed. So we help to keep the roads fit for us to drive on, smooth. It won't break the axles of the car, potholes and whatever. It won't give us flat tires and break the axle of the car. But who benefits the most? It's the people with the most money. Because if they have to stop and fix a flat, their hour, their time is much more valuable than ours in terms of dollars. So they're losing big dollars to fix a flat, bigger dollars to have the car put in the shop for the axle to be repaired or replaced. So they lose much more than we lose, but we are also keeping the roads good so they won't have busted tires, potholes, and busted tires and broken axles. So what religion wants for society is justice, fairness, and I repeat, giving charity to the poor from the hand of the wealthy is something the poor is due. We'll do that. And the burden shouldn't be placed unreasonably on government. Because every time we place the burden on government, government has to spend more money, employ more people, get better or extra facilities. And when government has to spend more money, the citizens have to pay more money. And that impacts the poor more so than the rich. So we have to understand this. We have to understand these things. See, I'm the good humor man, but I'm also the public education teacher. And you can't get the public education that you need to solve your problems as poor people from the elementary school, the high school, and the colleges. No, we have to have standard bearers who register the problem and how serious it is and devote themselves to informing the public and informing them in a way that will result in them being better educated as citizens or members of the society. The standard bearers. Yes? As I'm talking, I'm recalling some really great standard bearers that I was acquainted with as a young man, young boy and a young man. The devil has set us up.
Yes.
Satan.
Yes.
The invisible evil has set us up. That evil want us to think that rich people are our enemies. Want us to think that rich people have gotten over the easy way. But most of the very rich people who have been successful generation after generation, meaning that they have a family line that shows success for business. The one in the beginning or in the first generation perhaps was among us as a poor person, but used their intelligence and used their connections to build wealth. And they became so wealthy that when we hear about them and what they have achieved, we don't think that they could have started in poverty. And by the way, we got a booklet, little booklet, says the poor was first. And what that little booklet is saying is that before man's world was established, the world was a natural world. And the natural world provided people with food, clothing, and shelter. Not only food, clothing, and shelter, we have to add transportation. Because before man's world, the transportation was the fast horse, the stubborn donkey, and some others that man learned he could ride. Yeah. All right. Oh, I like this. Well, this is, now I love to cook, but I'm in another kitchen now, buddy. Woo, and do I like this cooking. Oh, yeah, I love this cooking. Now, the Satan, I said, has tricked us into seeing rich people as our enemies. President Clinton has put out a book recently, and in that book he names several persons of great wealth and their great charity. I visited the Clinton's library in Little Rock, and it has been published in our Muslim journal. I was invited and didn't even know it. I came to participate in the groundbreaking for a new masjid complex in Little Rock. And I'd heard of the new imam in that area, who's not completely new, but relatively new. And I wanted to go and let him know that I was aware of his great leadership and I supported it. When I got there, there were more non-Muslims on the site than Muslims, recognizing the contributions that they were making to the community. And it turned out to be a wonderful experience for me. I got to the Clinton Library, and to my surprise, I was scheduled to speak. And they had scheduled me for some time. before I arrived there. You see how the Lord works? I didn't know I was supposed to speak, and I was only there for a day and for a night, and the next day I was gone. I didn't know I was supposed to be there. Those people had me there and was expecting me and everything. I didn't even know it. But God put me there. God put me there so I could answer what they expected of me. And we had a great time. Great time. Yes. Getting back to this, how our relationship, rich to poor, poor to rich, is taken advantage of by the Satan. He wants the rich to spend all the money that they got the way he wants the rich to spend that money. And he wants the poor to not get the benefit from experiencing a friendship with rich people. Because if the poor experience a friendship with rich people, by virtue of them just having an interest and an association with rich people, they're going to benefit from the better experiences and from the better knowledge and skills that the rich have. And this relationship with the rich is going to help rise the level of the poor in the economic scale. Satan doesn't want that. Satan wants ignorant people, poor people, to be consumers and not producers. Praise be to Allah. Every time I hit a big one, man, I got to get a couple of breaths, so be patient. See, my heart registers the big ones. Yes. This friendship that is natural. You know, in the South, some of the closest friends was a poor dirt farmer and a very rich, rich man or woman. Some of the best friendships. But when we came up north, we came up to a different kind of situation altogether. You came up to a situation that didn't care about folk life, didn't care about people being warm toward one another, as much as it cared about people supporting the establishments. It was different, and a little different, and in some instances, greatly different in the South. I know because I'm not a young fella. I'm an old rooster now. And I've heard a lot from my elders, especially my parents, my grandfather, father, grandmother, mother, close relatives, and also their friends who were not relatives. I've heard them say things about life in the South. And I learned a lot. I think we've learned more about life in the South from our families than we learned from textbooks, haven't we? I know I have. Yes. So this is an attempt to bring us back to a normal, natural way of relating to one another and also relating as poor people to rich people. And this encouragement for us will grow more and will increasingly become a friendly divide, a friendly relationship for the poor and the rich, as much as is possible. And the only thing that can hurt this a lot is the exception to the rule regarding persons of wealth and poor people. We know there are exceptions to the rule. There are rich people that hate to see you that you exist. They don't want to even see you. Why? Because you bother their conscience. You prick their conscience. They know they came into wealth on the back of the poor. They know that. So you bother their conscience. They hate just that you're present. And a lot of us will mistake that hate for racism. It's not racism. It's a guilty conscience in the rich, in the better off people. And when they see you, you remind them of their neglect, of their moral neglect, of their citizen neglect, of their thieving, of their theft. Yes, they got rich off of you and your circumstances. Now, Rafa, he touched upon wealth, how much money comes in, all these billions that come into us, into our hands. Ronald Reagan, I guess I make du'as for him for two reasons. He was a good cowboy in the movies. He and his wife, they were good stars, good movie stars. So that's one reason, I think. I just tend to make a du'a for them occasionally. But I think another reason is that he gave us big help, and we thought it was just negativism coming from a white man. He said, your day have come and gone. He heard some of the preachers, our preachers said, now this was when he was campaigning. He heard some of our preachers saying that this is our day. He said, your day has come and gone. And he didn't give us more understanding on it, but I know what he wanted to say. Yeah, President Johnson was your day. When President Johnson was the president, that was your day. It's gone. And we know that wasn't only President Johnson, but he stood out. There were other Democrats and some Republicans, too, that were really helping us get free and get where we could feel that we are citizens of this country. You know, a lot of us couldn't even feel that we were citizens of this country when there was the ugly South, the plantation life, and the ugly 100 years of lynching us and terrorizing us so that we would never have enough courage to stand up to a white man, not to a white man that was serious about putting us down. The Ku Klux Klan, their psychology was, if we burn them and hang them and beat them and ride them down, they will eventually fear us so much we won't have to worry about them. We can sleep and not worry about them rising up and making trouble for us. 100 years of that. So all of that ugliness made some of us feel that really is no hope with these people. And that's why the black nationalists formed their movement. Didn't believe that there was any hope in the future for us with white folks. And that's why Mr. W.D. Farad, or Mr. Farad, Wali Farad Muhammad, came and found my father and made a leader out of him. Because he knew. In fact, he said it. He said, speaking of himself, I come as the Son of Man in the clouds. That means hiding my real image from you. And I come to get the lost sheep. I come to get the lost members of the Nation of Islam. And a lot of us don't know now that the great majority that was brought to these shores and made slaves, they were brought from Islamic nations or Islamic places. Not from Christianity, but from Islamic lands.
If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive it in its entirety, you may call 708-862-7733 or visit wdmpublications.com. Ask for catalog number. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750 or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.